Hola y bienvenido a Planeta Estela. I am Veronica Vilsky, and we are here today to speak with Andrew Jablonski of Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. He studied at Estela School in Cusco, Peru, and he is full of travel and immersion insight that he is so generous to share with us. Andrew, thank you for being here and willing to talk to me about your Spanish immersion and travel.
Well, the pleasure is mine.
What was your Spanish level when you first started classes in Cusco?
I've been placed at level B2, and I think that this is probably the level where I belong. I did some self-evaluation, and pretty much is the level where I needed to start, and I was quite pleased with the placement.
Good. What other Spanish language training had you previously completed then?
Well, I would say that probably 80% of the 70% of my knowledge of Spanish was self-taught. But I also attended 3 weeks in a school of Spanish in another country, and also a week or two of conversations in Canada. So I have comparisons with at least two other establishments.
Why did you choose to learn Spanish as a foreign language?
Well, if you live on the Western Hemisphere, and especially in the northern part of it, and you like to travel and you like to maybe escape the very long winter, South America is a very natural choice, and it's also a very, very interesting continent. So in the northern hemisphere, knowing English and French is pretty much a must.
Do you plan to escape your cold winter this upcoming winter?
Probably, probably somewhere in South America.
Nice, that'll be great. Some people think that in order for an immersion program to really help, they need to spend more than 2 or 3 weeks in a program. How does this presupposition compare to your experience?
Well, I would say that it's beneficial if you can spend more than 2 or 3 weeks in a school of Spanish abroad, but I would have a word of caution. I met some people who were able to give this task 6 or 8 weeks, and they would stay in a school for 6 or 8 weeks in a row. And it's really quite easy to get overwhelmed and saturated with all the information that may be acquired or fed during such a long period of time. I would personally suggest maybe a little bit shorter periods with breaks in between. If someone can afford 6 or 8 weeks, I think a better result would be to take a break maybe every second week or every 3 weeks, staying still in the country, but letting the knowledge sink in and get to use it in everyday situations, let all this information to settle and the level of confidence increase before going for a next installment of information. So I think that 2 or 3 weeks is not a bad choice. If you can afford more than that period of time, I would probably suggest breaks because, you know, being in a foreign country is also a wonderful opportunity to get to know it, to connect to the people, and this is why we learn the language.
Yeah, that's very good advice. What are your grammar and conversation classes like at Estela?
Well, I have to say, comparing to the two other establishments that I dealt with, they were significantly better. As far as the grammar is concerned, I was especially impressed with our teacher, who managed to connect with every one of us, help us to identify the weaker areas, and fill in some of those gaps before ahead into a new portion of the material. I would say that this is really teaching people rather than teaching material only. I was also very pleased with the way the material was organized and also the way she would present it being maybe an organized person, I found it very, very, very helpful, very nice examples. But in addition to this, I would say a personality which makes all of this pleasant and even fun. So the grammar for me as a self-starter is very important, because once I know the rules, I can do a lot on my own. In the previous establishments, I would say it looked like this grammar was fed by bits and pieces without any connection between them. So here I was definitely impressed with this. As far as the conversations are concerned, we did it in group, and our teacher not only I would say tried to keep this whole conversation light and interesting for individual people. So, for example, if we were to write our essays, homework, we were free to choose a subject of our interest, which was something new. I was very glad to research some of the subjects that I chose, and found it well, beneficial, but also much more interesting. I remember having this conversation class in Canada for a while. The teachers really didn't do much correcting, believing that they should not be intimidating the students. But here at Acela, the teachers were able to very gently correct us without creating, without diminishing the sense of safety in which we were able to take risks when trying to express ourselves on the spot on a subject that sometimes are not that that simple to express. And I would say the element of humor, warm atmosphere, which also helped the participants to bind in those classes. Am I answering your question?
Yeah, definitely. It really answered it. And I think it's good to, like you said, to be able to choose different subjects, because then you're listening to different people and getting to know different cultures and people as well.
Absolutely.
Did you enjoy grammar or conversation classes better? Can you pick one?
Well, I have to say, being a self-starter, I am maybe a person who is not afraid of taking initiative and take risks and engage in conversations, even in a less safe environment. And I can probably find such opportunities also in Ottawa, where we have the meetup groups of people who want to practice conversations. But in those cases, there is a risk that you keep recycling the same simple phrases, making the same mistakes, and that is really not great progress. So I would say the conversation only, without this solid injection of grammar, and also, I have to say, through the conversations, we acquired knowledge of quite a few new terms. The terminology, the vocabulary was enriched. Mm-hmm. But if I personally had to choose only one of them, I would choose the grammar, because that will give me a solid foundation to actually venture in less safe environments and still try to speak and use my language. Am I answering mm-hmm. the question?
Yeah. So you talked about how your teacher gently corrects you. What area of Spanish is the most challenging for you to understand and then use in speaking?
Well, I would say that for me, the colloquial language, some of the expressions which are maybe different than you would encounter it in other languages. Spanish is based on Latin, and therefore some of the expressions and some of the grammar could be extrapolated from other languages. And being a Canadian, obviously, I I have to be fluent in French or semi-fluent in French. But there are those subtle differences which are a little bit dangerous. For example, Spanish uses the subjective mode more than any other language that I know, more than French, more than English, obviously, which doesn't really use it that much. So this is an area where understanding it better and practicing use in different situations was very, very beneficial. Also, Spanish is very uses the pronouns very much in sentences that have a direct and indirect object, and it also uses something that in French is called élision, meaning lumping together the verb with the adverbs. That is something that is easy to understand when reading, but not necessarily natural for an English-speaking or French-speaking person to use. And here, this area has been very, very well strengthened and clarified for me. Now, there's also lots of connectors, which obviously are used slightly differently than in other languages. I was not sure of my skills in this area. I feel much, much, much better now. I think I could probably list a few others, but I think it probably gives you an idea.
Yeah, it does. How were all of the strangers, you know, coming into the school from various parts of the world brought together in Cusco?
Well, I would say that, first of all, situations filter people, or you could say that certain activities and places draw people like-minded people, like flies are drawn to honey. So although the people may be coming from completely different countries or very different cultures, you will see quickly notice that they have lots in common. They will be all a little bit adventurous types. They will be all people who are curious of the world and curious of other cultures. They're people who are not afraid of taking risks, and people who even seek challenges, because obviously learning a foreign language abroad is not for everyone. Mm-hmm. And you will find out that although there is lots of this tasty variety that they bring in, there is a very strong common core in this group, which with the help of the teachers can gel very nicely into a well-functioning team.
Yeah. So then as a team and as a group of students that like to do things together, what types of after-school activities did you do?
Well, this is my second week, and I'd say they're a little bit different. During the first week, I personally we actually had, during those 5 days, three events that we participated in. Two were organized by school. One of them was a sightseeing event in a historical portion of Cusco, here with the animator, a very, very warm, very friendly, I think, a person with lots of personality and people skills, and we enjoyed it very, very much. We had also a trip to an area where we had a contact maybe with people who practice local spirituality connected to the coca leaves, divinations, and so on. Mm-hmm. The third event was actually also quite interesting. Four events. The fourth one was a school-organized trip to Tipon, which is an archaeological site, not too far from Cusco. And this was also a very, very, very pleasant event, also with participation of one of the teachers. Now, it turned out that we, in order to visit Tipon, we had to purchase a ticket that covers 6 or 7 sites, but was valid only for 2 days. So the four of us had to band together and organize our own team, own trip.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, that involves some of the risky things, like trying to negotiate the terms of the transportation, the car that you stop in the street, trying to find the place, dividing, you know, the chores among ourselves, a little bit like scouts in the foreign territory. And when it all nicely worked out, we finished with a sense of, well, increased sense of self-reliance and freedom in a foreign environment. And this was also binding because, to a certain extent, we were, I would say, putting our next step in the hands of someone who was stranger a few days before, and now we already had some trust in either their language skills, organizational skills, reliability, and so on. So this was also a very nice binding exercise.
Good. What form of transportation did you use most frequently around Cusco?
Well, I would say in the first week, I walked a lot because I took a break to do the Camino Incas, the Inca Trail, quite challenging, and I wanted to make sure that I would be fit and in good form. But in the second week, I use mainly the public transportation, and I would say that I like it very much because I have to say that in Canada, that's primarily what I use. I use either my car. Or I use public transportation, and I really don't use taxis that much. Now, being able to do the things that I do normally gives me additional sense of freedom, and also gives me additional contact with normal people in normal life situations the way they do things. So instead of being a foreigner who lets himself to be driven in taxis and so on, I just join the people and follow their steps, and that gives me a chance to connect with them. Obviously, I need help to find out a destination or find out the proper bus or when to get on or get off. But all of this increases the feeling of freedom, self-dependence, and also the connection with the people.
So did you find that people were pretty helpful when you needed help?
Very much. Actually, I cannot say that I found any case where someone would not be helpful. Sometimes they may be busy and the responses will be terse. But I have no experience of any interaction which would not be pleasant. And I even would say that people value that you try to level with them, that you want to walk their path, and they are ready to reciprocate by reaching out to you.
Excellent. So in your time in Cusco, did you find a favorite restaurant or a type of cuisine?
Well, I have to say that favorite restaurant would be something that I would say visit frequently. I try to eat in different places in various parts of town. Although there is one restaurant which serves what is called here a menu, which is a semi-fixed menu at quite reasonable price. Which has a kind of soup that I couldn't call. It's a typical Peruvian soup, which I like enormously. So if I have a choice, I try to get there during lunchtime, because for me, a dinner, a meal, a lunch without a good soup is not really a dinner. And it looks like the Peruvians here have the same respect for the soup that I do. So this is probably what my my favorite experience would be.
That's wonderful. Nobody's told me about the soup before, so that's good to know.
Yep.
Do you have a favorite or memorable Spanish word or phrase?
I have one. I have one. And I'll share it. It's actually, I have to first maybe explain what it is, because this is one of the expressions which is not easy to decipher.
Okay.
It is a question, and it is followed by a response. Okay. So question is, ¿cómo, cómo, cómo? And the answer is, ¿cómo, cómo, cómo? I should probably translate it. ¿Cómo, cómo, cómo? Means, what do you mean, how do I eat? The answer is, well, I eat the way I eat. but the whole phrase, or two phrases, contain only one word repeated six times. ¿Cómo, cómo, cómo? ¿Cómo, cómo, cómo?
I like that one.
It is a nice one.
It is good. So did you use it in conversation?
Well, no one asked me why do I eat the way I do.
Bummer.
To draw too much attention to it.
Oh, that's a good one. I have never heard that, so thank you. How is the Peruvian culture in Cusco similar to or different than that of Ottawa?
Well, I have to say that I lived in and worked in many countries, including Northern Africa, a number of developing countries, and my frame of mind is not, when I come to a country, is not to superimpose on it my Canadian template and be surprised that certain things do not match that template. I may have some expectations of the country, but I try to keep my eyes open in order to see what is and not what I expect it to be. So obviously, life in Peru is extremely different from life in Canada, but it simply means that it's different, but it does not mean that needs to create any sense of discomfort. Obviously, the countries have a very different culture, they have a different climate, they have different economical conditions and so on. I don't know if I could explain it without taking too much time, but what I wanted to say is that we do not go to an exotic place in order to find the same old, same old. I think in our everyday life, we slowly start to filter out most of our experience, and we trot our little path, or we drag our cloud of our assumptions and worries and thoughts. But when we go to a very different country, we suddenly become much more alive, much more awake. The cloud dissipates, and we start to perceive the things that we used to just filter out back at home. So yes, we will see lots and lots and lots of differences, and this is actually probably the main reason why we decide to go to another very different place. We need to wake up. We need to be a little bit more alive and invigorated than we normally are in our everyday chasing of our tails and all these things. It is different, vive la différence, and this is what we are looking for.
It's very true. In final, is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners, maybe people who are considering an immersion program or, like you said, kind of getting out from their cloud and their day-to-day and experiencing something new?
Well, I would say, I don't know who said this, every new language that you learn enriches your humanity. And learning a language abroad is very different from learning in your home country. It's no longer just an academic exercise. It is actually opening your mind and opening your life on something new and something that complements you, enriches you. Someone said that you are as many times a human as many languages you can use. And that's probably true. Each language carries embedded in this a certain amount of wisdom of this people, accumulated experience of the people. So learning a new language is really an adventure. And doing this in the environment that and in the culture that uses this language makes it very much more so.
Muchísimas gracias, Andrew. I have enjoyed our chat immensely, and I wish you the best of luck in all your endeavors, Spanish language related and otherwise.
Muchísimas gracias. Muchísimas gracias también. Que tengas un buen día.
Igualmente. Cuídate.